Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Jeremiah 31. In verse 3, the Lord has appeared unto me of old. This is from ancient times. God has always been saying the same thing for which he appeared to Jeremiah to tell him. Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. This is what God said to Jeremiah. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. We as Christians are very concerned frequently with God's purpose or God's plan, with God's call, with the perfect will of God. And certainly these are all good things. But we have to be careful with those. Sometimes when I consider, let's say, the will of God, I question to myself, I question to God, how do I go into this will of God? How do I enter it? What is it that you want me to do? And that's a little bit of a tricky question. It's not a wrong question. It certainly is sincere. But it's really a tricky question. Or sometimes when we consider the call of God, and this is often true with young guys in Bible college, you question to yourself, what is the call of God for my life? And people will ask each other, what is your call? That is an enormous question. You don't actually know the fullness of the call for your life. You enter into it as you respond to God in the moments. Usually God gives information like that on a need-to-know basis. He's not going to tell us the fullness of the call at the beginning. We'd never enter into it if we knew what it was in fullness. But God doesn't want us concerned with the purpose, plan, and call so much. God wants us to carefully get to know His nature before we even consider the plan or the purpose or the call or the will of God. God said to Jeremiah, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, because of that, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. God didn't push Jeremiah. God doesn't push anyone. God doesn't force people. God draws people. He doesn't go from behind to push them forward. He goes from in front to bring them to himself so they will move forward with him. You always get to know the nature of God before you start to wonder about the purpose or the call or the plan or the will of God. That's where you will find everything that you need from God is when you pursue the nature of God. Getting to know Him will bring you to Him. Getting to know the details will bring you only to the details. So our focus, and this must always be our primary focus, is to get to know the nature of God. As I'm getting to know the nature of God, God will bring me into His purpose, God will bring me into His plan, into His will, into His call. But it comes through getting to know the nature of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. Young people, you do not call yourself. This is tricky for people sometimes because they have natural preferences. Let's say somebody is good at music. They may want to be the music leader in the church and their desire will be called a call. It might not be the call. Sometimes a spirit-filled pastor who exercises wisdom doesn't always put the most gifted people into positions of responsibility. He puts people who are humble and people who are responsive to the Word of God in positions of responsibility. Because the details can be learned, but the character is not something you can teach somebody. The character has to be developed by God in them. Let's say assistant pastors, for example. A pastor is looking for an assistant, and he has maybe a few different people in his church that would work really well for that because of their gifts. Maybe they're talented speakers, or maybe they're gifted organizers, or what have you. If he considers just their talents, then he's going to get somebody who's going to be a disaster. He has to consider their heart. It's God who calls and God who does it. Before I can enter into the call of God, I must rest in the faithfulness of God. So learn to be confident in God's faithfulness, and then you will be able to enter into His call. When I was in Bible college, a lot of young guys would strive to be pastors. I don't know a single one of those guys who's pastoring today or who has stayed within the call that they claim to have. Why? Because they entered into something without being brought into it. You wait for God to bring you into it, and then you can enter it. Unless God brings you into it, you can try to do it, but you won't be able to last because it's not God who's doing it, it's you. If I'm the one doing it, it's going to be short-lived. If God is the one doing it, nothing's going to stop it. It's He who calls you who is faithful, and He is the one who also does it. Get to know God's faithfulness, and then you can enter into His call. In Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that He should lie. Please understand this. At no point will God lie to you. Why? Because He is the truth. So He is not capable of lying. By definition, all that comes from God is truth. So God is not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent. And that means that He should change His mind. God is not the Son of Man that He should change His mind. Has He said it, and shall He not do it? Whatever He says, He'll do. Or has He spoken, and shall He not make it good? Whatever He says, He'll do. By getting to know who God is, and what He's like, you'll be sustained in whatever it is that God has you in. Where people fall short is when they stop trusting who God is and what He's like. That's where things like anxiety or frustration or fear, nervousness, insecurity come in. If you are in a call from God, and you start to question God's character, what He's like, or God's faithfulness, or if you start to question some other aspect of God and His nature, then eventually you'll start to question your call. You'll start to question the will of God after it has been shown to you. Sometimes it happens, because we are human, that people do not do things quite perfectly. Sometimes they can mess them up pretty good, and this is true for every human being. There are certain people, even very famous people in positions of great responsibility, who from time to time have really blown it. Look at David. King David was the greatest king in all of human history. And man, he blew it big time on many occasions. But here's the thing about that. It's not David that made himself king. It's God who made David king. So in Romans 11:29, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. That means God will not change His mind about them. There are times when people would have somebody who doesn't get things quite right, or maybe they have a personal failure in their life. Maybe they even outright sin in a bad way in their life. And other people around them would try to remove them from their call rather than bring them into being right with God again. That is a serious mistake, because it is opposite of the way that God does things. Once you enter into a call from God, or once God gives you a gift, and there are certain spiritual gifts that are defined in the Bible, places like 1 Corinthians chapter 12, for example. Once you enter into the gift of God and start to utilize it in the call of God, even if you make a mistake, God will not remove it from you. At times you may have to deal with your mistake. You'll certainly have to correct it as far as repent from your mistake. But God will not remove His call and His gift from you because it wasn't up to you in the first place. God will not actually allow another person to remove it from you either because it was not up to them in the first place. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance because God doesn't change His mind about what He has for you, and He is the one who produces it for you anyway. God is the one, for example, who makes the pastor a good pastor. God is the one who makes a teacher a good teacher. God is the one who makes anything, let's say a doctor. God is the one who will make the doctor a good doctor. Now, the world has competent doctors that are not Christians, but I'm telling you something. People like Ben Carson, there's a reason why they were the best in what they did, and it was because of God. God is the one who's doing it. You don't have to worry about if you get it right or wrong. God is the one who's doing it. So even if you make a mistake, God will take care of your mistakes. You just stay right with God. In 1 Samuel 17:47, sometimes we get into these difficult situations and God says, the Lord does not save with sword or spear. That means God isn't going to deliver you from that situation by means of your power, your ability, your resources, what have you. Those are not really relevant. They have nothing to do with your ability to be delivered. Then he continues, for the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. That's the key. And whatever that situation is that's troubling you, he'll put it into your hands. In other words, you'll overcome it. Because the battle is the Lord's. It's not for us to accomplish something. It's for us to receive something from God. If you enter into a tough situation, you keep going with God. Don't even look at the situation except to be responsible in it. But you just keep your life going with God. Don't change anything about what you're doing with God. Why? Because you're not there to accomplish anything, you're there to receive something. And as you receive things from God, things get accomplished. But it's God that's doing the accomplishing, it's me that's walking along with Him as He's doing it. In Zechariah 4:6, the Word of God says that it's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. And then he says, who are you, O great mountain? And he's talking to the prophet Zerubbabel, who's experiencing some very difficult times. And the mountain was a very difficult time for him. But he said to Zerubbabel, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, the mountain shall become a plain. Now, This is something that happens to every person, and believers are no exception. They will enter times that are tough, just plain old hard times. The details don't matter. Whatever the details are, the time can be difficult. When that happens, God will take you through all that by His Spirit. And where at one point you were facing what seemed like a mountain, when you get through it, you turn around and you see there was actually no mountain there. It was a plain. It was flat. It was level. It was an easy walk. What made it hard was our emotions. When we respond to the circumstances in our emotions, the circumstances can appear difficult. But the fact is that it's not. Here's the key to that. You might think that you're going through something. That's wrong thinking. That's the wrong attitude. To have an attitude of, I'm going through something. Bad thought. Now, if you are thinking that you're going through something, then what you're not realizing is that you're actually going with someone. Don't ever think to yourself, I'm going through something. Instead, realize, oh, I'm going with someone. And so you may have very tough situations that appear difficult. But they will not be difficult for you because you're not going through those situations. You're going along with someone and something happens to appear on the path. But the Spirit of God will level that path and you're going to go past it like it wasn't even there. God will always do that for you. He's very faithful to you. He will always do that for you. In 2 Chronicles 34:2, King Josiah, when he died, and he became king at 8 years old, when he died, God said about him that Josiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord. What a beautiful thing to have said about you by God at the end of your life. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. There is nothing greater as an outcome for a human being than to have God say that about their life. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And then it continues, and he walked in all the ways of his father David. Now, David made huge mistakes. And sometimes he sinned in absolutely wicked ways. But why did God say that he walked in the ways of his father David when he did what was right in the sight of the Lord? Because David always ran to the mercy of God. And God would always forgive him of his sins. His sins would always be removed by the blood. And David, despite the fact that he was very flawed, always continued to go forward with God. That's what God was looking for. God was not looking for anybody's perfection. God was looking for their faithfulness to continue with Him. That's what you want to keep in your own lives. Don't worry about it if you made a mistake. Just keep going forward. Don't worry about it if you failed. Don't fail. If you can possibly avoid it, don't fail. It can bring a lot of damage. But if you do fail, don't worry about it. Just keep going forward with God. And then it says, he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He walked in the ways of his father David, which was the ways of mercy and faithfulness to God. And he did not turn aside to the right or the left. What does that mean? It means that you neither quit nor make things happen yourself. You do not quit. You do not make them happen yourself. You simply continue walking with God. You're walking with someone And He's the one who brings you where you need to be, where you need to go. He's the one who performs for you what He wants done. He's the one who'll do it for you so long as you do not turn to the right or the left. You don't try to make it happen and you don't quit. You continue with God. You understand that? Okay, that's it for today.